Yes, you mate with your mouths. Just the words sent a spear of heat straight to his groin. He was so hard, he ached. I can't do that, sweet wife. I'll slice you bloody. Oh, did he regret such an obstacle? For once, and probably the only time in his life, he wished for more human attributes. Horse teeth didn't seem so bad or so ridiculous at that moment. He'd take Ildiko's mouth the way he would take her body, deep and slow, with hours spent dedicated on nothing more than savouring the taste and feel of her. Undaunted by his warning, she tugged him back to her. "Maybe you can't," she said, "but I'm not limited by a mouthful of sword blades." Her pupils glittered in the shadow he cast across her face and body. "Part your lips." Spellbound, he did as she ordered. Ildiko rested her mouth lightly on his. Her lips tickled his when she spoke. "Slide your tongue out, just a little." She'd be the death of him before they ever consummated this marriage. Brisson's body screamed to be done with it and slide inside her. His mind begged patience, delighted by this journey she took him on as the day waxed bright beyond the closed shutters. Ildiko's lips closed around the tip of Brisson's tongue and sucked. He jerked in her arms, shivering at the new and pleasurable touch. Her tongue brushed his, a seductive caress that coaxed him to offer her more. He did, and was rewarded by a longer suckling. Brisson moaned into her mouth, giving her more until his tongue twined with hers in the mating dance he'd so envied and coveted earlier. She echoed his moan. Her arms linked loosely behind his neck, fell away so that her hands could busy themselves with stroking him from shoulder to waist, pushing him to rise up so they could travel the hard planes of his abdomen. Her fingers traced the ridges of his ribs, wandering higher and closer until her thumbs glided across his nipples. Brisson ended their kiss with a one-word prayer, back arched like a drawn bow as a lightning bolt of sensation shot across his chest to encircle his back and rake down his spine. Ildiko's calves crossed over the back of his thighs and locked him in place. One hand splayed across his back, pressing him down so that she bore more of his weight. Her lips followed where her hands had played, teasing a trail from the hollow of his throat to the line of one collarbone and down the planes of his chest. Brisson's claws gouged furrows into the pillows on either side of her head as she alternated between worrying his nipple with her tongue and blowing gently across the sensitive tip. His hips ignored the dictates of his mind to stay still. He thrust against her, enamoured with the sleek feel of her thighs cradling him and the hot wetness that dampened both her night trail and his linen breeches. Human women were obviously much like Kai women in that regard. Ildiko wanted him as much as he wanted her, and somewhere in his fogged brain, Brisson recognised that it was she who savoured him at the moment and not the other way around as he originally planned. He pulled himself out of reach, ignored her protests, and captured her wrists in one hand. Her odd eyes were glassy, the blue of her irises completely surrendered to her pupils. A darker flush painted her pale skin. Brisson caught sight of the ragged amaranthine stain on the underside of her jaw from her earlier foray into the dyehouse. He bent and traced its outline, first with the tip of his nose, and then his lips. Ildiko moaned softly in his ear. Her eyebrows rose when he scooted them both down toward the foot of the bed and stretched her arms above her head, her wrists still manacled in his light grip. "You'll be my undoing before I can take another breath, and I want this day to last far beyond a breath," he said. She frowned and wriggled teasingly beneath him.
"But I've only had a taste."
"That's more than I've had," he countered. "Have you enjoyed me so far?" He preened at her enthusiastic nod. "Then be fair, wife, and let me enjoy you." Ildiko unfurled along his length, a silk ribbon tipped from a spool to ripple and stroke him from chest to knees. "Oh, well then," she breathed, "I don't wish to be unjust." She stopped him before he could return the touches that so inflamed him. Her hand stroked his hair. "Close your eyes," she said. Brisson frowned. If Ildiko worried he'd find her the hag he first met in Prisid's royal gardens, she had nothing to fear. His vision of her was irrevocably changed. "Why?" he asked, wary of her reasons. "Because I'd have you see me with your touch." Her mouth curved into a smile. "It's how I see you in this blind darkness, Brisson. And it is a wondrous thing." He'd been the recipient of heady praise from mistresses, as in lust with his title as they were with his body. No such honeyed words ever came close to these and their power over him. She kept her arms above her head, even after he released her wrists. Brisson closed his eyes and let his other senses overtake his willing blindness. He took his time, exploring every hollow, swell, and nook of Ildiko's neck and shoulders. She smelled of flowers and the scented oils imported by the caravan peoples who traded such indulgences for spells and charms from Kai Shaman. She tasted human. He could think of no comparison. Soft skin with a hint of spice and a sweetness he'd tasted nowhere else in either food or on the supple, muscular limbs of the Kai women he'd bedded before his marriage. Her differences intrigued him, seduced him. He didn't remember removing her night trail or his breeches, but they somehow ended up in a discarded heap on the floor by the side of the bed. Free of any barrier between them, Brisson indulged himself by easing more of his weight onto her. "Oh," Ildiko said on a sigh, her heavy-lidded eyes almost closed. "You feel good." She drew swirls on his back. "We should have done this much sooner." Brisson's chortle vibrated between them, his forthright wife. "I couldn't agree more," he whispered in her ear. He set her to squirming in his arms, her soft moans a sensual cadence in his ear, while he kissed and licked a path from her shoulders to her belly, stopping for long moments to repay her torture of him by flicking his tongue back and forth across the tips of her breasts. That she didn't pull away from fear of his teeth spoke of her faith in him and the sure knowledge he would never hurt her. A subtle quiver of tension passed through her body under his hands as he kissed a path downward towards the juncture of her thighs. Brisson opened his eyes. His heightened senses warned him that delicate vibration had been one of unease instead of eagerness. Ildiko gazed at him steadily, her features somber. She lowered her arms to card her fingers through his hair. She didn't try and wriggle out of his reach. This wasn't a matter of trust, so much as experience or its lack. Brisson knew that while his wife wasn't completely ignorant of bedplay, her introduction to its many intimacies by her previous lover had been limited. Her statement that three romps in the bedroom or the hayloft had not made the effort of a fourth worth the trouble revealed a great deal. He'd have to tamp down on his eagerness to explore every part of her in a single day. The knowledge that he had a lifetime to draw out the anticipation of familiarising himself with his wife's lovely body evaporated any of his initial disappointment. Brisson bent and traced the circumference of her navel before kissing a return path up her belly to the valley between her breasts, and finally to her chin. Ildiko gave him an abashed look. "I haven't tried that yet," she said. He framed her face in his hands, so I gathered. He smoothed away the lines between her eyebrows with his lips. "It's not a failing, Ildiko."
"I know, but..."
She broke off to return the kiss he pressed to her mouth. "Consider it your gift to me," he said, noting her confusion. "I have the opportunity to be your teacher and show you the pleasure of that particular act, one of the finest between a man and a woman." She relaxed under him once more, her knees clamped against his sides. He exhaled a surprised grunt that changed to a groan when her hips lifted to rub against the erection that was robbing the blood from every other part of his body. Her hands glided down his back to cup his buttocks and keep him in place. Her heavy-lidded expression returned, one Brisson quickly recognised as her passion for him, and one he found more seductive by the moment. "What will you teach me?" she asked, hips thrusting, pressing, tempting him towards madness. "Patience," he said, in guttural tones that made a mockery of the word. His arm slid under her buttocks, lifted until her hips tilted towards him. "Endurance?" His limbs shook with the strain of holding back. Ildiko's hands moved to his arms, clutched his biceps. The mollusk pink of her skin deepened, blending with the amaranthine stain. His cock nudged the entrance to her body, slick and hot. "Ecstasy," he whispered and slid deep. They gasped in unison, and Ildiko arched in his embrace, her short nails digging into his arms. Drowning in the pleasure of being inside his wife, feeling slippery muscles gripping him, drawing him ever deeper, Brisson fought to breathe, to pause. Patience, endurance, and, oh gods, the ecstasy. He settled them both and waited, even as the waiting killed him. "Ildiko?" Ildiko gave him a quick smile. Her hands abandoned his arms for his lower back. She kissed him, tongue flicking over his lower lip. Brisson pulsed inside her, and her smile widened. "I'm fine, my lovely prince," she said and kissed him a second time. "Don't stop." Her clasp on his back tightened, and a soft moan threaded her voice. "It feels too good to stop." Grateful and relieved, Brisson needed no further reassurance. She was fire in his arms, hot and sweet. Her moans and softly worded encouragements, the feel of her surrounding him as he thrust inside her, slow and deep, shallow and fast, destroyed any lingering coherent thought he possessed. Every near withdrawal had her clawing at his back. Every hard pump of his hips made her croon her pleasure in his ear. Brisson angled his hips, a minute change in his position. Ildiko's eyes grew wide, and she emitted a strangled sound. Brisson froze, horrified. He'd hurt her. He stared down at her, eyes equally as wide. "What's wrong?" She held his hips prisoner when he made to pull out of her. "No!" Her legs flexed on him. "Do it again." "Do what?" He gawked at her, bewildered. She didn't act as if he hurt her.
"That thing with your hips," she said,
and wriggled hers to coax him into action. He tried to recall exactly what he did, the angle, a mere shift in his body that forced his pelvis down onto hers and stroked a different spot with each thrust. Brisson repeated the motion, and Ildiko did her best to climb up his body. His jaw dropped. "That?" She nodded frantically, her thighs clamping so tightly against his torso, his muscles protested. "Again," she commanded him between pants. "Do it again." Yes, Your Highness, he teased, exultant that he could make his wife burn the way she made him burn. Whispered affections, drugging kisses, and the steady rock of hips. Brisham balanced on the edge of release, struggling to read Ildiko's ever-changing expressions as she met his thrusts and moaned her pleasures. She suddenly stiffened, her arms tensing as her fingernails carved tiny crescent moons into his skin. Her moans flattened to harsh gasps, and her eyes closed.
Brisham! Brisham!
She chanted his name, and whether it was a desperate prayer or affectionate curse, it didn't matter to him. Ildiko came apart in his arms, her body flushed and hot, and arched until he thought he'd hear her spine crack. The sleek muscles gripping his cock tightened and pulsed with her release. Brisham buried his face in her neck and surrendered his control. His groans chorused with her gasps as he came hard inside her. His climax rolled through him, leaving him both blissful and utterly stripped of vigour. His heart pounded in his chest, and he sucked in sweet gulps of air like a man saved from a drowning. Were Ildiko a Kai woman, he'd collapse on her, letting her take his full weight. He braced on his elbows instead and raised his head to regard his silent wife. The flush to her skin had receded a little, though her chest rose and fell in shallow pants. She regarded him with an expression in her eyes even he could read. Stunned amazement. She opened her mouth, closed it, and opened it again, only to say nothing. Brisham brushed the tip of his nose across hers. "Breathe, Ildiko," he said between his own short gasps. "Just breathe." She exhaled a strand of his hair away from her face. Her smile held the smug satisfaction of a cat that had caught a particularly juicy mouse. That was neither awkward nor messy. His eyebrows climbed, and he tucked his hips even closer to hers to stay inside her. "Oh, it will get messy, wife, the moment we move." One small heel roamed up his calf to his knee. She traced his cheekbones with her fingertips. "I don't mind," she said softly. "Nor do I." He kissed her, and she kissed him back, her mouth working its magic so that his blood heated once more and his cock hardened inside her. He took her a second time as the sun marched west, and then a third when they were both drowsy and exhausted from their lovemaking and lack of sleep. The third time was a slow melding of bodies and low sighs. When it was over, Brisham rolled to his back with Ildiko draped over him. She was asleep before he could cover them haphazardly with the bed linens. He followed her into sleep, only to be awakened what seemed like moments later by a brisk knock at his door. Those moments must have been more like hours. The candle he kept lit for Ildiko had melted into a pool of wax, the flame extinguished. Full darkness enveloped the room, and the air had grown colder. Ildiko was nowhere in sight, and he frowned. The knock came again. Brisham rubbed at his scratchy eyes and sat up.
"What?"
he barked at his annoying visitor.
"Your Highness, you're past the gloaming. You can't sleep any more."
Anuzet's admonishment was muffled by the door's thick wood. Brisham scowled and swung out of bed to pad naked across the room. He slid the bolt aside and yanked the door open to the sight of his cousin's smirk and his personal servant's flinch.
"What are you doing here?" he snapped.
Her gaze made a slow journey from the top of his head to his feet.
"Cousin or not, you're a fine figure of a man."
Her smirk deepened at his impatient growl. "Etep here fetched me. He said you didn't respond to his calls or knocks. He thought you might be ill." She looked past him to the bed and its rumpled sheets. Obviously, he worried for nothing. You've only been conquered. Brishan bared his teeth at her.
Don't you have something to do other than vex me?
She shrugged, unconcerned by his forbidding mood. Not nearly as much as you do, and more time to do it. The Belladine Lord is due to arrive. The manor is in an uproar preparing for his visit. He groaned and raked his hands through his hair.
Poor timing,
he muttered to himself. He pointed a finger at Anuzette.
I'm not looking for your agreement.
She and Atep followed him into the chamber, where he trekked back to the bed and pulled on the thin trousers he'd discarded earlier. Ildiko's night trail was gone, vanished like its owner.
Where's Ildiko?
Unlike you, your Hesigase is awake, dressed, and elbow deep in supervising the preparations for your guests. And here I thought humans weaker than the Kai.
She flashed him a fanged grin, her eyes sparking bright with amusement. Brishan growled. His cousin revelled in her chance to flense him with her mockery and draw a little blood, revenge for him ordering her to attend tonight's dinner and the dancing that followed. He allowed her the indulgence, too tired and sated to do more than shoo her off with a flick of his hand and a sour, "Go away before I have you flogged!" Her laughter drifted to him, even after she and Itep left his room, closing the door behind them. He wasn't alone long. Itep reappeared, leading a parade of servants carrying buckets of water to fill the bathing tub in the corner. One built the fire in the hearth. The servant bowed to his master.
A cold bath tonight, Hesigase. We don't have time to heat that much water.
Brishan shrugged. He lost count of the number of dousings he'd had in the icy waters of a lake or mountain stream. He'd saved the hot water bath for a more leisurely time when he didn't have to rush and Ildiko could share with him. The images of such a scenario banished the sleepy fog shrouding his mind. He stripped and hopped into the tub, allowing himself one hard shiver before submerging in the cold water to scrub himself clean. In less than an hour, he was dried, dressed, and headed to the great hall. His chest swelled with pride at the sight. His servants had outdone themselves and brought Sagara's great hall back to the days when it was the summer palace of a Kai king. More torches were lit for the benefit of their human guests, and the trestle tables draped in embroidered cloth dyed in jewelled shades of cerulean and crimson, nettle green and aubergine, and the coveted amaranthine that was the greatest source of his people's wealth. The tables were set with the costly ceramics carried over the mountains via caravan, and goblets made of silver, mined out of the Serpent's Teeth hills far to the south. Not a speck of dust dared to collect in the corners, and the tapestries hanging on the walls had been taken down, beaten clean, and rehung to tell their stories of an ancient past, Kai battles won and magic unleashed. The scents drifting from the kitchens made Brishan's empty stomach rumble and his mouth water. He had no idea what the cooks would serve. Though she was human in a Kai household, its maintenance and organisation was Ildiko's domain. He knew his place in the order of things, and in this. His only requirement was to stay out of the way, praise her efforts, and show up on time to eat the food she ordered prepared. He only prayed she didn't order potatoes. His steward approached him. Mesumineth was Sagara's steward, long before Jador gave it to Brishan. He knew it better than anyone. Every stone, every corner, every roof tile. Loyal to the estate more than to any of its owners, he had patiently mentored Brishan into becoming a capable overlord, and did the same for Ildiko when she arrived as its new mistress.
Does this meet your approval, Your Highness?
Very much so. You and the servants have outdone yourselves.
The Hesigase's hand is in it as well. She knew what would please and impress humans. Brishan complimented Methumenes a second time and continued his tour of the manor. There were many,
many benefits to having a human wife, or at least his human wife. He would thank her for her insight when he saw her. If he managed not to lift her skirts while he did so, it would be a testament to his control. His need for her ran like molten streams just under his skin. His cold bath had dampened his ardour only so long. He missed her and wanted her in his bed once more, preferably now. It wasn't to be, and he distracted himself by inspecting the bailey and training yard and ignoring Anuzette's snide comments when he came across her saddling her horse in preparation to ride out and meet the Belladine party at the entrance to the estate road. She wore ceremonial military leathers, and beneath those a pearl-coloured tunic over teal trousers spun of silk. Brisham wondered how many times she'd cursed him while dressed in the formal clothing reserved for court and which she hated. He twisted the knife. "You look beautiful." Her lips thinned and her eyes narrowed. Brisham kept his gaze on her dagger, which she toyed with at her waist. "I don't understand why I have to attend this thing. It's a dinner with the Belladine warlord. More court manoeuvrings and double talk with sly innuendo and hidden meaning. Ask me to meet him in battle, and I will happily comply. This, though, I hate this." Brisham sympathised with his cousin's sentiment. He wasn't fond of such gatherings either, but they weren't at court. And while Serevec's loyalty lay with the kingdom displeased with the Kai at the moment, he had always been a friend to Brisham. Until they met on the battlefield, and he prayed that would never come to pass, they would invite each other to dinner, socialise, and trade valuable information no spy could ever retrieve from bribed sources. "This isn't court," he said, "and you need to be there because you are my second and an important member of my household. Your presence is expected." He didn't mention that Serevec had asked after her when they travelled to High Silur to dine with him. Shah Anuzette was his trusted lieutenant, and a woman of exceptional martial skill and leadership abilities. Had she been human, Brisham had no doubt Serevec would have attempted to lure her away to act as one of his commanders. "I refuse to dance," she proclaimed in a final show of rebellion and swung into the saddle. Brisham shrugged. "That is your choice." His lips twitched. "The last time I recall being forced to dance with you, you crushed every one of my toes. We'll consider it a favour if you just watch this time." She glared at him and nudged her horse into a brisk trot toward the barracks where the rest of the escort awaited her. Brisham returned to the house and made his way to Ildiko's room. He could hear the gentle peaks and troughs of female conversation through the door. His knock was met with silence before a set of footsteps approached and the door swung open. Sinue bowed and motioned him inside. Ildiko sat on a stool before a looking-glass. Dressed as a Kai noblewoman, she wore the split-skirt tunic and trousers in the dark colours she typically preferred. This time, a combination of brown, dark as tea, steeped long in a pot, and lustrous amber that shimmered in the candlelight. She met his gaze in the mirror's reflection. Her face was paler than usual, marred by lavender shadows under her eyes and the amaranthine splash edging her jaw. Her fiery hair was partially up, bound into braids woven with tiny pearls. She was stunning, and Brisham's breeches grew uncomfortably tight the longer he stared at her.
"I think we still have a little time, yes?"
She indicated the servant with a tilt of her head.
"Sinue is almost finished with my hair."
Sinue offered another bow to Brisham before skirting around him to return to her mistress. Her nimble fingers worked magic with a comb, and in no time Ildiko's hair was coiffed, beaded and pinned. The servant left them alone then, a knowing look on her face as she eased out of the room, leaving the door open.
Ildiko rose from the stool to face Brishan and spread her arms.
"What do you think? Presentable for our guests?"
Brishan narrowed the distance between them until they were toe to toe. He leaned down and placed a soft kiss on the tip of her earlobe. Even though he didn't touch her beyond that small caress, he felt her shiver.
"Beautiful, though even more so without clothes."
They smiled at each other.
"Regrets?" he asked.
She shook her head. "Only that I fell asleep." He nuzzled the soft hairs at her temple.
"Who cares about the guests? Come to my bed, now."
He knew she'd say no. It was a foregone conclusion, and the worst thing she could do was say no. But if she said yes... She turned her head toward him until her cheek pressed against his.
"You'll ruin my hair," she teased.
"And you're ruining my peace," he countered.
He laid his hand on her slender waist.
"What say you?"
"Later," she replied. "We're the hosts, Brishan. We can't be late." He sighed, stepped away from temptation, and offered his arm.
"Let's get this over with, then."
He escorted her into the hall and towards one of the staircases that led to the great hall. Ildiko squeezed his arm.
"I don't miss Harrodith's court, but I do miss your court garb. You will be the handsomest man in the room."
Brishan gave her a small smile.
"You mean the handsomest Kai?"
She had earlier complimented Serevet's looks when he asked. In her eyes, he would be the finer looking of them. Her mouth turned down a little.
"No," she said. "The handsomest man."
"Lord Pangium will be there."
Ildiko shrugged.
"So? My opinion remains unchanged."
He halted abruptly and hauled Ildiko into his arms. She gasped, then sighed when he kissed her. Her arm slid over his shoulders to play with the long braid of hair he queued at his neck. Brishan forgot about time, about guests, about dinner, about the world around him. He cursed his inability to kiss her the way she kissed him. That soft mating of tongues and lips, so sensual and alluring. She made his head swim. He groaned when the warning peal of the gate bell rang throughout the estate, signalling the arrival of visitors. Ildiko's blue eyes had darkened once more, and her lips were red. Her arm slid off his shoulders, and she put some much-needed distance between them.
"We'll never make it to the hall if we keep doing this."
"I don't view that as a problem," he groused.
"I don't either, but others will."
She tugged on his arm. "Come, Your Highness, we need to make our grand entrance." Brishan schooled his features into a polite mask, placed his wife's hand over his, and escorted her towards the hall. A long, long night awaited him. Chapter 19. Standing this close to him, Ildiko was struck by Serevek's impressive size. He was a big man, a little taller than Brishan, with massive shoulders and long, muscular legs. He looked as if he could crush anvils with his bare hands. She wondered if his gregarious personality contributed even more to the sense of physical power he exuded. He'd come to Sagara with a small entourage of Belladine soldiers. Their sparse numbers signalled a gesture of peace and trust in Brishan that this dinner would be as safe and friendly as the one the Kai attended at Highsilieu. The Belladine guests mingled with Kai officers and councilmen of the Kai villages and townships under Sagara's protection. Ildiko admired the ease in which the two groups socialised. So different from her wedding, where Gowri and Kai almost drew swords on each other. Such actions seemed counterintuitive to the realities at hand. The Kai were allied with the Gowri through trade, while hostilities with the Belladine brewed hotter every day. Serevec and those under his command were unique in their political fray. Ildikó wondered how long his friendship with Brisham would last after a declaration of war or accusation of treason. She hoped neither came to pass.
"You're a fine hostess, Your Highness, and your cook's in danger of abduction to Haisalua."
Serevec inclined his head to where servants cleared the remains of the earlier dinner from the tables. In one corner, a quintet of Kai musicians strummed instruments, the haunting melodies accompanying the din of several conversations.
"I especially enjoyed the scarpetine pie."
Ildikó shuddered. Her hope to never again see or eat the Kai's most beloved and revolting delicacy had been in vain. When Brisson informed her that the dish was one of Serevec's favourites, she resigned herself to another culinary battle with her food and put the scarpetine on the menu. She ordered roasted potatoes as well, much to the head cook's disgust. When servants brought out the food and set it on the table, Brisson leaned close and whispered in her ear.
"Revenge, wife?"
"Hardly," she replied, keeping a wary eye on the pie closest to her. The golden top crust, with its sprinkle of sparkling salt, pinched in a lazy undulation. "But I'm starving, and I have no intention of filling up on that abomination." Their guest of honour didn't share their dislike of either food. As deft as any Kai, Serevec made short work of the scarpetine and its whipping tail, cleaved open the shell with his knife, and took a generous bite of the steaming grey meat. Ildiko's stomach heaved. She forgot her nausea when Serevec complimented her.
"An excellent choice to pair the scarpetine with the potato, Your Highness. They are better together than apart."
Beside her, Brisson choked into his goblet. He wiped his mouth with his fanap. "What a waste of good scarpetine," he muttered under his breath. "What a waste of a nice potato," she thought. However, the more she thought of Serevec's remark, the more her amusement grew.
"And what is you smiling so brightly?"
Brisson stared at her, his lambent eyes glowing nearly white in the hall's torchlight. She glanced at Serevec, happily cleaning his plate and shooting the occasional glance at Anuzette nearby. Brisson's cousin refused to meet his gaze, but Ildikó had caught the woman watching the Belladine Lord more than a few times during dinner. "That's us, you know," she said. "What is us?" "The scarpetine and the potato. Better together than alone. At least, I think so." One of Brisson's eyebrows slid upward. "I thought we were hag and dead eel."
"I think I like those comparisons more."
He shoved his barely touched potato to the edge of his plate with his knife tip, upper lip curled in revulsion to reveal a gleaming white fang. Ildikó laughed and stabbed a piece of the potato off his plate. She popped it into her mouth and chewed with gusto, eager to blunt the taste of scarpetine still lingering on her tongue. The crowd broke into groups after dinner, and Ildikó soon found herself in conversation with Serevec and on the opposite side of the hall from Brisson. The lines at the corners of the Lord's eyes fanned and deepened.
"Will you favour me with a dance, Your Highness? The Kai think humans are clumsy creatures. Shall we prove them wrong?"
Ildikó glanced at Brisson, who stood conversing with a mayor of one of the nearby Kai villages. He didn't look directly at her, but she sensed the weight of his gaze. Gowrie society dictated that a woman either ask her father or her husband's permission to dance with another man. Kai society did not. To the Kai, it was perfectly acceptable for Ildikó to take up Serevec's invitation without Brisson's approval. Still, she hesitated. Serevec's chuckle returned her attention to him. He nodded towards Brisson.
"Were we both Kai, I don't think he'd care. If I were Kai, he wouldn't care. But we're both human, and that presents something very different. I desire a dance with you, but I'd also like to leave Sagara alive."
Ildiko clinked her goblet against his in silent agreement. She had no idea how one might read the more subtle hints of jealousy in Akai, but there was a certain rigidity in Brishan's stance that reminded her of an owl watching prey from the branches of a tree.
"As I'm still learning Kai protocol, I think I'll ask my husband what the proper response is to such an invitation."
His grin transformed Serevek's already handsome face into an even more striking visage. Ildiko tried not to gape.
"I await your answer, madam."
Ildiko left him to seek out Brishan. He was no longer where she first saw him, and she kept to the outer perimeters of the room, searching for broad shoulders garbed in indigo silk and a long black braid. She jumped when his voice suddenly sounded behind her.
"I'm told Serevek is known as the Stallion in the Belladine Court."
A muscled arm slid around Ildiko's waist, and she leaned back against Brishan's chest. He rubbed his nose along the curve of her ear.
"He's an exceptional horseman, but I doubt the title was bestowed on him because of his skills in the saddle."
His cheek was cool and smooth pressed to hers.
"I suspect, my husband, that is exactly why he was given the title."
His low laughter rumbled in her ears. A clawed hand outlined the curve of her waist before settling on her hip.
"You stalk this hall with purpose, Ildiko. What do you seek?"
"Serevek has requested a dance with me. I know the Kai don't follow the Gowri customs, but he thought I'd best ask you first."
She felt it then, a stiffening in his body as he pressed against her. It faded as soon as it appeared, but Brishan's voice had lost its sensual warmth and turned clipped.
"He has a finely honed sense of survival. It makes him a good warrior. Do you wish to dance with him?"
Ildiko turned in his embrace so she could face him. She stroked his arm and gazed into his eyes.
"I wish to dance with you, but I think it only hospitable as one of his hosts if I dance one dance with him."
She winked.
"Or you could dance with him?"
Brishan snorted, and his features softened. "There is hospitable, and then there's ridiculous."
He brushed his mouth across her forehead. "You don't need my leave to dance with another wife, but I reserve the right to steal you away at any time." Belladine and Kai guests paired off as a musician segued into the beginning of a more high-spirited tune. Ildiko wove through the crowd and found Serevek where she left him. He watched her approach with a slight smile.
"Will I live another day?" he asked.
She handed him her goblet so he could set it on the table behind him.
"That depends. If you trample my feet, I'll kill you."
Her grin matched his laughter.
"You'll forgive me, of course, if I trample yours. I'm not familiar with Kai dances. Until recently, I didn't even know they danced."
Serevek grasped her offered hand and led her toward the center of the hall.
"They are exceptional dancers. Think about it. Strong, fast, and nimble. They're made for it. And you may recognize many of their tunes. The Gowri and the Belladine have taken a few of theirs over the centuries."
They waited amidst a throng of other couples who had paused after the first tune ended and before the next one began. Ildiko glimpsed Brishan across the hall, watching them. When the second tune started, she clapped her hands.
"You're right! I know this song!"
Serevek lifted her hand, bowed, and swept her into a loose embrace.
"Your Highness, it is my honour."
They fell into familiar steps. Serevek had spoken true when he said the Gowri, and the Belladine as well, had borrowed a few things from the Kai. She had learned to dance to this particular song when she was very young. It was a popular dance at the Gowri court, and one of her favourites. Serevek's familiarity with the dance was obvious. He guided her smoothly through the steps, graceful as any Kai, especially for a man of his stature. Her feet were in no danger of being crushed. Her partner was an adept dancer. It would have been perfect if she danced with Brishan instead of Serevek. The dance soon came to an end, and Serevek surrendered her to a Kai officer who bowed low and requested a dance. It was followed by another with a Kai town councilman, and one after that with one of Serevek's Belladine soldiers. She was flushed, winded, and thirstier than a willow tree by a dry lake bed when Brishan sought her out, carrying a much welcome goblet of wine. Ildiko took it with heartfelt thanks and drained it in two swallows. Brishan blinked and offered his wine.
"Would you like mine?"
Ildiko shook her head.
"No, you've rescued me. I thought my tongue would stick to the roof of my mouth if I didn't stop dancing soon and find something to drink."
She handed her empty goblet to a passing servant.
"Are you enjoying yourself?"
He downed his drink and sent the cup off with Ildiko's.
"I am."
Ildiko reached out to play with one of the lacings on his tunic.
"Though I'd have much more fun if you paused a moment from all your political machinations and plans to dance with me."
"Just one dance, husband. It isn't much to ask."
She winked at him. He had promised to claim her from any of her dance partners, but so far had refrained, choosing instead to circulate through the hall, talking with both Belladine and Kai guests, including Serevek, when the Lord wasn't dancing himself. Brishan grasped her hand and brought it to his mouth for a soft kiss. The caress sent tingles from the tips of her fingers to her toes and set a hot pool of desire swirling inside her. She hadn't chosen this husband of hers, nor had he chosen her. But fate or kind gods had brought them together, made them friends, and then lovers. While her Gowrie peers might shudder at the idea of a Kai mate and give thanks they weren't her, Ildiko considered herself the most fortunate of women. Her expression must have revealed something of her thoughts. Brishan tilted his head, a puzzled furrow appearing between his eyebrows.
"What is it?"
"I want to dance with you now," she said, in a low voice only he could hear. "But I want to make love to you more." Her cheeks burned hot at her own blunt declaration and the reaction it caused. Brishan's back snapped straight and his eyes paled. Her fingers went briefly numb at the sudden grip he closed on her hand. His lips flattened against his teeth, nostrils flared, and the skin drew tight across his cheekbones. He said nothing, but Ildiko suddenly found herself jogging to keep up as he pulled her across the hall towards a stairwell leading to Sagara's private wing.
"Brishan, wait!"
she whispered, caught between panic and laughter. The weight of several curious gazes rested on her shoulders, no doubt wondering why the Hersagus of Sagara suddenly decided to whisk his wife out of the hall. She stumbled into him when he halted abruptly and turned. He caught her in his arms and helped her regain her balance. His eyes still glowed white-hot, and his breathing paced shallow from his nostrils. His voice, by contrast, was cool and uninflected. "Are you trying to kill me, Ildiko?" Were they not standing in the middle of the hall, with a crowd of people watching, she'd twine her arms around his neck and kiss him senseless. Brishan's parted lips revealed the tips of his fangs.
"Carefully senseless," she corrected.
She settled for squeezing his hand and offering an unapologetic smile.
"Killing you is the farthest thing from my mind, and were we alone, I'd race you to the stairs."
His claws were dark against her knuckles, lethal as spear points napped from obsidian.
"But we aren't alone, and we are the hosts. We're obligated to stay."
Torchlight caught his eyes in a different pattern as his gaze flickered from her face to the crowd behind her and back again.
"And who will stop us if we leave?"
No one would. In Harrodis, Brishan was the unessential spare prince. At Sagara, he was king and subject to no one. Still, Ildiko didn't relish the gossip such an act would incite. She traced a line of his knuckles with her free hand. I don't regret my words, only their timing, she said. Dawn isn't far off. Dance with me until then, and you can bid your guests good riddance.
His lids closed for a moment, black lashes thick against his cheeks. When he opened them again, his eyes were once more their lamplight yellow.
As you wish, but it will be another day of no sleep, wife, he warned in a voice no longer cool, but sensual.
He kissed her hand for a second time, leaving a damp line as his tongue stroked across her fingers. Ildiko gasped, her knees going weak at the caress. She exhaled a shuddering breath.
I'll hold you to that promise, husband.
He claimed her for the rest of the night, either dancing with her or keeping her by his side when others drew him away to discuss the various issues of the townships and villages under Sagara's guardianship. Night gave way to day, and the wine flowed fast and generous. Servants escorted some of the more inebriated guests to spare rooms prepared in a ground-floor wing near the kitchens. Brishan offered Serevek one of the chambers on the second floor, along the same hallway as his and Ildiko's chambers. Serevek refused and slapped Brishan on the back. His dark eyes were glassy with drink, but he remained steady on his feet, and Ildiko suspected anyone foolish enough to think him vulnerable to attack would find themselves suffering or dead for making such a mistake.
A generous offer, my friend, but I'm for home.
He smiled, and Ildiko was once again struck by the beauty of his features.
And unlike you, Kai, I enjoy the feel of the sun on my face when I ride.
He gestured toward Anuzette, who stood among her compatriots, tugging ceaselessly at her finery and scowling.
I will, however, accept an escort to your gate.
The Kai might not be able to read human expression any better than Ildiko could read theirs, but Seravec's interest in Anuzette was plain to her. He caught her knowing look and winked in return. Brishan stiffened beside her. Thanks for Sagara's hospitality, wishes for a safe journey, and promises of mutual aid if needed were exchanged before Serevek and his party left, escorted by a sour-faced Anuzette sporting a telltale dusting of colour on her high cheekbones. They watched him leave. Brishan slowly pivoted to survey his nearly empty hall. The sun flare returned to his eyes when he settled his stare on Ildiko. Her breath caught in her throat.
And now I can say good riddance.
This time it was she who yanked him to the stairs and raced down the corridor. His door banged open against the wall and just as quickly slammed back on its frame. Brishan slid the bolt home and turned in time for Ildiko to shove him against its expanse. She was desperate to touch him, feel the solid strength of muscle beneath her hands, the smooth expanse of grey skin, the fire that had smouldered inside her since his aborted attempt to seduce her before they went downstairs to greet their guests, flared into an inferno. She caught his braid in one hand and used it to pull his head down to her. The gleam of fangs didn't deter her from kissing him hard. He groaned and offered his tongue. She took him deep, tasting sweet wine and the honey harvested from the wild hives built in the bramble-strangled orange grove. Brishan hoisted her in his arms, hands cupping her buttocks. His breath sounded harsh in her ear as she nibbled his neck and caught his earlobe in between her teeth. Another groan was her reward.
"So eager, wife," he said between pants. "How can you tell?"
She whispered to the sweet place behind his ear. She rocked against him, seeking the erection that proclaimed his desire for her was as great as hers for him. His fingers flexed, claws piercing layers of cloth. Ildiko gasped from the pleasure pain. He froze.
"Forgive. Nothing to forgive."
She tore at the lacings on his tunic, loosening some and knotting the others. Her mule of frustration drew a chuckle from him.
"This is when claws come in handy, wife."
He made short work of the tunic,
splitting it down the centre with one swipe of his hand to reveal a sculpted chest that made Ildiko breathe an admiring, "Ooh." He didn't stop there, and soon their finery hung off them in sliced ribbons. Brishan's chest was hot against her breasts, the room's air chilly on her back. He'd rucked up her long tunic to her waist and shoved her silk trousers below her hips. His own clothing was equally twisted and shoved aside. Ildiko arched her back and gasped Brishan's name when he thrust inside her. Every muscle clenched, eliciting a low growl from him as he clutched her hips, braced himself against the door and set a hard pace. "My gods, Ildiko!" he managed to gasp out between thrusts. "You're a hearth fire. Were you like this downstairs?" She wondered vaguely how he could possibly remain coherent. She was reduced to mules and moans. "Yes," she said. "Needed you. Need you now." She punctuated her demand by scoring the corded tendons of his neck with her teeth. Brishan's knees buckled, and he nearly dropped her. Had he done the same to her, he would have laid open her jugular. Her teeth, though, were no danger to him. She wasn't Kai, and heartily glad of it. He employed the trick he discovered when they first lay together, angling his pelvis so that every thrust rubbed in just the right way. She climaxed in his arms, uncaring that her guttural cries likely carried down the corridors and all the way out to the redoubt's defences. A few more deep thrusts, and Brishan joined her, his own moans low, almost bestial. They sagged against the door, Ildiko boneless in Brishan's grasp. He rested his forehead on her shoulder, breath hot as it gusted across her breasts. He finally straightened and staggered to the bed, careful not to trip or lose his hold on her. Their clothes landed in a heap on the floor, and it was only moments before she welcomed him once more into the sanctuary of her body, as well as her heart. Afterwards, they lay together, pressed skin to skin, from shoulder to ankle. Brishan picked a broken strand of beads out of her hair and tossed them to the floor. "Your hair is a mess," she finished for him. "A spectacular mess," he said. "Your maid has her work cut out for her later." Ildiko took no offence. If being loved like this by her husband meant a ruined coif, well, there were some things worth sacrificing. She pulled the edge of one of the sheets towards her and paused at the sight of jagged rents. She frowned. "You have to stop destroying the bed linens." He shrugged, blithely unremorseful. "Only when you stop destroying me." They exchanged slow kisses while sunlight steeped through the partially open shutters and bathed their bed. Brishan started to untangle himself from Ildiko to rise and close the shutters. She stopped him with a hand on his hip. "Wait, I'd like to see you in the sunlight." He'd had the advantage of twilight's gloom and the full dark of night to see her. Naked, vulnerable, undeniably human. It was only fair that she see him. Naked, never vulnerable, undeniably Kai. Brishan paused to stare at her for a moment, before relaxing into the mattress and rolling on his back. He covered his eyes with his forearm. "As you wish, wife." Ildiko peeled the sheets away from where they gathered at his shins. He was completely bare to her, painted in daytime's golden light. Beautifully made, lithe and powerful, he reminded her a little of a cat. All sleek muscle beneath grey skin,